Hello and welcome to another episode of the Option Plus podcast. This episode is a recording of my talk for MoneroCon, which happened in June in Paralympolis and Institute of Cryptoanarchy in Prague. And in this episode, I talk about cypherpunk, a little bit of a history, what were the goals, what they hope to bring, what is the present, where are we now, and what things have to be solved in the future. I think it is a very positive episode, and even though it was recorded at MoneroCon, it is not specific to Monero in any way. So I hope you enjoy the episode. Let's dive in.
Thank you.
Under the light of the moon, we played with ciphers, and some said that this road leads to liberty. We became cypherpunks, and we have won for now. Welcome to MoneroCon and the Institute of Cryptoanarchy. I'm here to talk about the past, present, and future of cypherpunk. To many, cypherpunk sounds dystopian, and I'm here to tell you that I think we have a very bright future. So, what is cypherpunk and who are cypherpunks? Cypherpunks are people who play with ciphers, and they decided to bring and realize this strategy of cryptoanarchy. So, contrary to many philosophies about liberty, cryptoanarchy is not so much a philosophy, but a strategy. That means it's a set of tools that you can use in your day-to-day life to increase your liberty today. You don't need to wait for the world to change. You don't need to enact political change or anything like that. There's no revolution. You just do it yourself. Run your own node, build your computers, and use all these tools to be a little bit more free in many areas of life. Cypherpunks have been researching these cryptographic primitives and writing code to help us get some of these liberties. One of them is private communication. This is achieved, of course, through encryption, censorship resistance by using decentralized networks and peer-to-peer technologies, anonymity, mixed masters in the past, onion routing, and many other ways how to achieve anonymity. Electronic cash, of course. First, there were eCash projects, then Bitcoin, Monero, and many other projects that try to bring us electronic cash. Decentralized file sharing, BitTorrent, whatever, IPFS, many other projects, permissionless social networks such as Nostr. And there are seeds of anonymous coordination using zero-knowledge proofs, reputation, escrow systems, and so on. So these cypherpunks, they've been playing with all these technologies. The most challenging actually turned out to be the electronic cash. But we have not solved all these problems yet. But we have come really, really far. So what is it for? So how does some software, something you can run on your computer or on your phone actually bring you more liberty? So the strategy is very simple. It is by detaching your physical body from some of your actions through anonymity. Only physical bodies can be put to jail. Public keys, they don't have jails for them now, although they put them on some lists. So this is the key strategy. If you have anonymity in some of your actions, you get more liberty by not revealing your identity, which is the only thing that can be put in jail. Also, of course, it is nice to be able to speak freely, also achieved by anonymity and censorship resistance technologies. This turned out to be very important and very useful, especially during the last few years where fight against free expression has been booming by the states, but also by private networks. And of course, being able to transact freely increases your liberty, especially if you are in a country that has capital controls or any other things. With electronic money, this is possible. And if this electronic money is not debased by the central banks, it's even better. So that's it. We have done it. Goodbye. Let's go home. Let's celebrate. All right. So this is where we are. This is the present. What is nice about the present is that we no longer have to prove that we are right. We know it because we use it every day and it works. So there really is a reason for celebration. But there has been a change in the society and in the importance and in the weight of this strategy. You can see this is the list of all the reserve assets in the world. So I am saying M0. So if it's a fiat currency, it's cash notes, bank notes, coins, and deposits at the central bank, not deposits in the banks. So everything that is not a counterparty promise. And Bitcoin, which I think is a cypherpunk project, is number 6. I'm not saying this because, you know, it's the moon and we are all rich and so on, but it has changed the game. This software, written by some anonymous punk, is the 6th largest reserve asset in the world. And that is what has changed, and that is, I think, one of the reasons things that are happening, such as arrests of cypherpunks and people who are working on privacy, are happening. Of course, I could have chosen a different measure. I could have included stock and so on. But Bitcoin really is a reserve asset. It's not a third-party obligation. So I think this just shows the magnitude and the success that happened in this area. So imagine a cypherpunk comes to a bar, or in this case, a cocktail party of super rich people. And there are, of course, entrepreneurs, and the cypherpunk talks to the entrepreneurs, and they are thinking, contemplating about what they should work on, they should build. The entrepreneurs usually got there in a very specific way, which is basically front running the money printing. So there's a lot of regulatory capture. A lot of it was built on borrowed or printed money, venture capital, and so on. But then, from far, there's a different kind of person, a politician, maybe a senator, maybe her name is Elizabeth. And she yells at the guy, like, "Who are you? We don't know you. We didn't allow you to be here. And you didn't go to the school with us or our children. You didn't attend Harvard. You didn't attend Yale or any other of these fancy universities. And you didn't follow our rules. You didn't climb over our hierarchy." And crypto anarchy as a strategy to avoid all these hierarchies and made up rules is exactly the strategy how you can live your life and not play their game. So the cypherpunk is not welcome, although maybe he is rich enough to qualify for the cocktail party. He's definitely someone who doesn't belong there. So this is our present. There are many people like this and many more to come. But we can see something different has happened. Like if this was me 20 years ago, wearing the same hoodie and same anonymity technology, using my PGP key and encrypting and using the first anonymization technologies, I would be absolutely out of place to come to this party. But we find ourselves in these places. So all these technologies, they have become important. And that is why I think we need to start thinking a little bit differently, because I think we pissed some people off a little bit. All right, so what should we do? There are some things from the Crypto Anarchy program that are still missing. First of all is true private peer-to-peer markets. There are many interesting projects that try to build these, but they did not solve the network effects and they did not solve marketing in the in an anonymous way. It's a really hard problem. People usually don't like the word marketing, but if you are offering something, you need your potential customers to know about you. And this is a really hard thing to do if you want to stay anonymous at the same time. So I think truly anonymous peer-to-peer markets with good reputation, without rug pulls and with network effects is something that needs to be done. Reputation, especially in a cypherpunk way, so somewhat privacy preserving is not a solved problem, and it would be very useful if we have done something about it. And we need better coordination. I think we can move the world if we can coordinate where do we want to move it. So we should not run around and without coordination so much. Of course, this also, if we run around without coordination, there's a lot of experimentation, which is good. Another thing I would like to focus on is thinking more about anonymity than privacy, because everyone wants privacy. You know, I have switched to Graphene OS. I have all these plugins for blocking trackers and so on, and I get a little bit more privacy. But what does it mean? Is it, you know, I block 80% of the trackers on a website that I visit, or what is this privacy? Or I do not share my location and so on. I think anonymity is a much better concept. And practically, how to think about anonymity, I think, is you figure out in which interactions you want anonymity, and you keep your anonymity in this kind of interaction. So let's say you want to write a software, let's call it Tornado. And what should you do in this case? Yes, you can have privacy, so you can use your email address, but create a pseudonymous GitHub account and commit it to GitHub, and then give interviews in podcasts. You can maybe cover your face, but your voice is still there, and so on. This is privacy. You're increasing your privacy. Having anonymity means you write the software under one-time identity, you commit, and then you leave. If there's a new change, some new identity will come. It might be you, it might be someone else. You come, you commit the change somehow. Of course, there needs to be some kind of approval or some kind of evolution of this project. But there is no single identity that ties you to previous commits. And there is less room to make mistakes, because you need to stay anonymous only for this one act. So it's not, I want to have a little bit more privacy in everything. No, I want to have 100% anonymity in this one thing that is important for me to stay anonymous. So think about this concept. I think we need to find ways how to incentivize developers, for example, if they want to stay anonymous and kind of do some kind of bounty thing or something like that. But I think this is something that we need to do because the game has changed and we have pissed some people at some fancy cocktail party. another thing, we do not need to build for normies. I'm not saying we have to exclude anyone. That's not what I'm saying. So we can bring in median people, but we don't have to prove ourselves. We already know we are right. We don't have to explain to them that mining won't boil the oceans or anything like that. I think we are way past that. If people want to use it, let them use it. If they don't want to use it, okay, use your CBDC or whatever you want. So I think the focus should be that our tools should be useful for us because we have a specific goal. We need more, we want more liberty. Another thing, in the early cypherpunk days, we were doing everything on the command line, and we were using these pipes, and these pipes were connecting different pieces of software. So this way I'm ordering some unpasteurized milk from my milk dealer using email and GPG. If I want this to be anonymous more private, then I will change the mail command for Mixmaster, but all the other commands stay the same. Where I'm going with this is there has been a lot of fight between, Bitcoiners and is Lightning private and Monero and, Ethereum has all these capabilities and so on. And we forgot to build the pipes. This pipe concept and this interaction of all these cypherpunk technologies is great. So if someone wants us to pay in Lightning and we have Monero, there are so many ways how to use this, so many pipes that we can use. We can use what we want to use, they can receive what they want to receive, and everyone is happy. So let's build the pipes. I think no one knows which project survives, and we are in this together. We are, of course, as individuals. It's not a collectivist ideology, but we have similar needs. So I think for electronic cash specifically, Bitcoin, Monero, Ethereum are all cypherpunk projects. There is no need to fight. And I think it is more important to build these pipes to connect all these technologies together. I find it fascinating that I can take a collateralized loan on Ethereum. Of course, I need to use it with a condom because Ethereum has horrible privacy, but it's still possible. I can do it without any KYC bullshit. I can just do a few clicks on Aave and I can short fiat and or even print fiat actually. So that's what we can do with these projects. Bitcoin has huge network effect. Why not use it? I can use my Monero wallet. They can use their wallet and so on. I have called this the law of cryptocurrency isomorphism, which means that it is not possible to ban only one cryptocurrency. You either ban them all or none at all, because we have these pipes. So if it's banned, we can switch between these currencies. So my call is let 1,000 anonymous projects bloom. I think all these projects that build and develop this cypherpunk dream should be welcome. And if we can do this, then prepare to move the world. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this content, I would like to recommend a book called Cypherpunk Visions and Trends 2023 to 2025. It is another more zoomed in vision of cypherpunk things that are happening. I wrote it in 2023 with a kind of wish list and light predictions for the next 3 years, and we are halfway through. Many of these things happened, and it's a fun and interesting read, very short one. So grab your copy on Amazon or on my website, hackyourself.io. Thank you. Bye-bye.